From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
Welcome to all who are worshiping here today at California United Church of Christ, members and guests alike. A joy to have you with us on this beautiful day. Thanks, choir, for returning again and being with us and enriching our worship service. We will continue then with our call to worship. Shall we rise? Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord
in the assembly of the faithful. Let us praise God with dancing and music.
Let the faithful sing for joy as we praise God together.
Our children's time is led by Joanne Cantrell.
Well, I want to tell you something. What happens when somebody tells you something that hurts your feelings? Does it make you feel bad? Yeah. What else does it do? If they... makes you mad, right? And when we get mad, what do we want to do? What do we want to do? I hear the choir back there. They're saying, throw something? Yeah, but what, Jess? That's a good thing to do, yes. Close your eyes, take a deep breath, and count to 10. But we don't always do that, do we? What do we do? If I hit Sophie, what's Sophie going to do? She's going to hit me back, right? Right. And if I say nasty things to you, what are you going to say back to me? Right. So what do we want to do? We always want to get even, right? Yeah, we want to do something to get back at them because they were mean to us, right? Well, in this morning's scriptures, Jesus tells the disciples, don't do that. That's right. He says, don't do that. If somebody says something mean to you and hurts your feelings, no, don't walk away. Jesus says, walk up to them and talk to them. Talk it out. Don't go slapping and hitting and calling names and throwing rocks and sticks and things like Joyce might do back there. Don't do that, okay? No. We don't want to do things like that, right? We want to do what Jesus told his disciples. So what do? If you hurt my feelings, what should I do? Talk it out. That's right. Talk it out. So I should walk up to you and say, you hurt my feelings. What can we do to work this out, right? Not go tell everybody what she said and say, she's mean. No, we shouldn't do that, should we? So we want God to help us be and do what Jesus told us to do, right? So the next time somebody hurts your feelings, I don't want you to get even. I want you to get ahead. Now, how do we do that? How do we get ahead of them? By saying something nice and saying, let me talk to you about that. Okay? May not work all the time, but that's what Jesus wants us to do. So let's bow our heads and let's say a prayer. Dear Jesus, we want to be like your disciples And when somebody makes us mad, hurts our feelings, we don't want to get even. We want to do what you told the disciples, to get ahead and go talk to them and work things out. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our anthem this morning, Let the Flame Burn Brightly, is by our senior choir, which is just fresh back from their summer break. It is directed by Stacy Frederick. Testament and Epistle lessons are read by Brad Frederick. It's followed by the Gospel lesson and his sermon, Building the Community, by our interim minister, Reverend Gene Mall.
First scripture lesson is taken from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verses 7 to 11. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you will have saved your life. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we waste away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson, taken from the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 to 14. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. The commandments you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in the sentence. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what hour it is, how it is full time now for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer for us now than when you first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. Let us then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves becomingly as in the day, not in the revealing and drunkenness, but in debauchery and licentiousness, but in quarreling and jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Here ends the second lesson.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault where the two of you are alone. And if the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. And if the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and as a tax collector. And truly I tell you, whatever you bind in heaven will be bound in bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Here ends our gospel. Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Walt Disney's MGM Studios in Orlando, Florida, which could be underwater any time right now today, I guess. But they're a wonderful place to explore the production of movies. Perhaps some of you have been there. You can get behind the scenes and see some of the explosions that are staged and the sounds that's mixed and how those special effects become part of a movie. The big attraction at one time, at least, at MGM was that stunt show out of the Indiana Jones movies where they were performed by live actors. And they were in this large arena, but yet you could feel the blasting heat and the explosions of the scene. And the director would come out and he'd ask for some volunteers to participate in the scenes. And people would crawl over each other to be chosen. Choose me. And there was a woman with little English. She was chosen. There was a man with sort of a funny Hawaiian shirt, rather hyperactive kind of a guy, and he was chosen. And they were among this group of a dozen or so bystanders as Indiana Jones would fight this legion of bad guys. There would be three-story falls into a wagon. Of course, it was padded for them. There was rappelling from one roof to the other. And he would barely be ahead of harm's way. Oil tankers would blow up, but he was always safe. Finally, there was the finale, and he asked if any volunteer from this group would be willing to fight one of the stuntmen. And the Hawaiian shirt guy said, choose me, and so they did. And he reaches out to hit that guy when, wham, he lands on his back. He gets a boot in the face next, and he's thrown around by his hair. It was apparent that he was no volunteer, but he was a plant in the crowd, a stuntman himself. No volunteer would take such abuse and make it appear so real. The fight was over and the man was introduced. Yes, in some ways we could say he was a special person because of who he was. He could do things that normal people would not be able to do. And so out of all the people in this crowd, he may have been the only one on that stage who could be picked out of the crowd and perform it as it should be and to be set apart for the task.
Most of us could claim some special status like that in our world. We all have some special talent. Some of you might be video game players or something like that. Or we could say, you know, maybe you'd be a gardener of roses and tomatoes and other vegetables. Maybe someone here knows more statistics about baseball players than anybody else. Maybe some of you like to set a fancy table and entertain. Some of you might be able to finish a nice piece of oak into furniture. Or maybe you're set apart by the organizations to which you belong. Some of you might participate with senior citizens, but I doubt if all of you do here, looking around. Not everyone might be a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout or a football player or be in the Little League or be on the volleyball team or the softball team or maybe participate in a Lions Club. Or maybe you're related to some great ancestor, someone who helped to start this town here. Me, I'm not quite sure what I would say about myself. I laugh when I say that because I was at one church for a while, and all of a sudden a lady comes up to me after church one day and she says, you know, I finally figured out what your gift is. It's the gift of simplicity. And I wasn't quite sure how to take that one for sure or not. But I said thank you and moved on. Well, I do have a second cousin who was a horse jockey, and he actually raced a number of times in the Kentucky Derby and some of the other derbies. He was a little guy like me, as you can see, yeah. But whatever your credentials are, or how impressive or unimpressive you think you might be, I want you to know this morning that there's one claim you can make which is not exclusive, though it is not shared by everyone. You are special. You are set apart when you come together in the name of Christ Jesus. You have a special status that is every bit as and more important than even that stunt person in Florida, or we could say even an astronaut in a space. For Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. And while that invitation goes out to all people, we know that not all people have responded positively to that invitation. Not all people are laying claim to that special status as they could. It makes no difference then who we are or what you do. As long as you come together with another person of Christ or two, you can claim a power and love that the best of Walt Disney and all of the movie stunts in the world could not touch. For the power of Christ is with those who gather in his name. Today, we here are gathered in God's name. We worship in the name of Christ. It means that we are numbered among the special folks on this day who are set apart. We are gathered among his redeemed children. So that is a verse from Jesus, and one that we dearly love and we freely quote at times. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. And how wonderful it is to enjoy life in such a community. But the flip side is that to always maintain such a community is not always easy. This stands as a challenge for us as well. Go back to that first reading you heard from Ezekiel. He was called to be a prophet of the people of God. Things were not always going so hunky-dory for him. You could say he had two tasks. He had to disturb the comfortable, and he had to comfort the disturbed. He had spent a lot of time on that first, trying to get them to come back to their God. He called the wicked ones to return. God has no pleasure in destroying the wicked. So he worked to restore, to help them to live in community again, that they might be ready for God's program of tomorrow, whatever that program might be. The second reading from Romans. It talked about building that community on love. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. The law is mentioned. The commandments are named, especially those where you can do harm to your neighbors. These are meant to help build community together and not destroy it. The attitude of the Good Samaritan, for instance, is different than we might have expected because he had some love in his heart for the one who was wounded. And that's how the commandments help us to live. I like to go to the comic strips once in a while. And I have an old one here from Geech. And Merle Sisson has the garage in town, and he's there talking with another guy at the garage. But he gets to the telephone, and he calls up the preacher, and he says, "Reverend Meeks, Merle Sisson here, and I have a question for you. We were discussing the Ten Commandments, and we were wondering if the number one commandment is the worst sin or if it is just the most popular." Well, Merle Sisson listens a little bit, and he turns to his side, and he says, "I think I just heard a thou shalt not from the preacher." "I think I heard a thou shalt not." Well, these commandments all fit together. If we remember the Lord your God and that you shall have no other gods before me, the rest of them just all sort of fit together and fall in line that we have here. If we do not love God, somehow then it would be hard to love the neighbor. But the other way, it works pretty well. But back to the gospel for today. We may like the way it ends, where the two or three are together. But we may not especially like that first part, building that community and restoring relationships like Ezekiel was about. What do you do to restore relationships between people in a congregation? Or has there never been a broken relationship in this congregation? Has it never been that anyone here has ever offended anyone else? Where an unkind word has ever been said to anyone else? If so, you may be the first congregation on earth where that is so. See, life in community is a precious thing. But in reality, there will always be need for some kind of reconciliation in every Christian congregation. The two or three gathered together includes people who hear and see matters differently from each other. And conflict can occur. By including this section, Jesus may not have expected his followers to always be in complete harmony. It has even been said, you know, Matthew is the one who's writing this gospel, and he's recorded some things here, and he might have noticed this as Jesus talked. And he said, Matthew has no romantic illusions about the church. He knows that the church is not all sweet thoughts, endlessly patient saints, and cloudless skies. In Matthew's church, people, no matter how committed, are still people, and stormy weather is always a possible forecast. Almost every church constitution has a section in it, sometimes called church discipline, but in reality, the goal is restoring relationships. It's not a popular section of a constitution, but the model is there for us to follow these restoring of relationships. We cannot go it alone. Discipleship does not work that way. There's a need to agree to accept even the differences that we have among us. What is it that can divide? What is it that can separate? Disappointment? Anger? Miscommunication? Misunderstanding? You know, these kinds of things, if not dealt with, they simmer and separate and divide. The greatest restoring tool we have then is the grace of God, because there's love and forgiveness involved with that. Lives that are lived and grounded in God's name will immediately have a help. Will we respond differently in our relationships of life if that's where they're at? A salesman at one time would bid on the jobs, and somehow he discovered that there was another salesperson who dishonestly always found out his bids and so bid just under him, and he'd lost the bids. And he said, "You know, if I had not known God's ways and what I should do, I wonder what I would have done to that guy. The end of the gospel, where two or three are gathered together, we often forget the words that follow in there. It's where two or three are gathered together in my name. Let's not forget the in my name as we go about building the community here at California United Church of Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. We begin our prayers today by something that the United Church of Christ has shared, called, O God, We've Prayed in Wind and Rain. It was written in response to the severe storms of Hurricane Harvey in Texas and Louisiana. And now we can add those that are affecting Florida and the Caribbean at these times. But they also remember the devastating flooding in Nepal, India, Bangladesh, where thousands have been killed. We pray for those who are suffering. Give thanks to the many who have responded and pray for continuing efforts to help in comforting and rebuilding. Oh God, we've prayed in wind and rain, and now we pray once more for those who felt the hurricane and heard the waters roar. We pray for those who watched the storm destroy the life they knew, who wait in shelters tired and worn and wonder what to do. We thank you, God, for acts of love not bound by race or creed, for hands that reach across the flood to all who are in need. We pray for others far away who've seen destruction too. We look beyond ourselves, for they are also loved by you. We pray that leaders of our land will heed creation's cry and bravely care and take a stand for earth and sea and sky. Where rains flood cities, homes, and towns, may we go out to be a witness that your love abounds in each community. Dear God, as we relate to one another, give us tongues that speak words of welcome and acceptance. Hold us accountable to one another as brothers and sisters, and make us eager to reconcile and quick to forgive. Hold us upright as we work for justice in our neighborhoods and communities, our nation and our world. O Lord, hear our prayers. Satisfy us with good things, O God. Give healing to those who suffer in mind and body and spirit. Give respite to those who care for them, and hope for all those who call to you. Sustain them with your healing strength. O Lord, hear our prayers. You, O God, are the Lord of the dead and the living. Hold us together with all the saints in your redeeming and steadfast love today and all days. And trusting in your mercy and goodness, we bring before you these prayers or whatever else you see that we need. In the name of the one who sets us free, Jesus Christ, our Savior, praying together the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever.
Amen. We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.